Good evening and welcome to Newsnight. Tonight, government yet to declare a state of emergency on illegal mining. Rather, the Lands and Natural Resources Minister acknowledges heightened interest and urges that the discourse be devoid of partisanship. We have details of the latest statement from the ministry, which says regional ministers are deploying additional measures at tackling the menace through a comprehensive approach. We interrogate this further. Meanwhile, amidst the heightened demands, there is heavy mining ongoing along Ayamfuri-Wasa-Ekropong Road, contrary to law. Also tonight, Ghana Integrity Initiatives is strongly pushing for electoral reforms to allow tracking of funding source for election campaigns, as they say most political activities are funded by illicit finances, including money from galamsey, fraud and money laundering.
You see galamsey happening, and because the states or those who are in the space governing us are not able to speak to these issues because they are resourced through some of these dirty sources.
We have more as they put the microscope on vote buying, campaign expenditure and abuse of incumbency. We focus on the NPP in our election headquarters as the National Executive Committee unanimously confirms Dr. Tia Kabiru Mahama as its parliamentary candidate for the Wale Wale constituency amidst some Irish youth protesting, and they vowed to oppose his candidature.
And we stand with our message. If the party wants the seat won, we need a neutral candidate. We don't want a candidate from east side.
In business, government increases producer price of cocoa by 45% for the next crop season.
And in sports, Black Stars likely to play next AFCON qualifier in Nigeria or Cote d'Ivoire after CAF declares all Ghanaian stadia unfit for international matches.
And in our climate focus series, we head to Tamale, where a growing shift from motorbikes to cars is raising concerns about carbon emissions.
Carbon is a key driver to the global warming. And once there is increase in global temperature, Tamale, Ghana will be impacted.
An historic milestone, Ifu Agati breaks barriers as the first female to lead Ghana's prestigious bar association after today's elections in Kumasi. Stay for that and more here on Newsnight.
And it's been a day of unprecedented united action that will see the shutdown of the country in 18 days unless President Akufo-Addo declares a state of emergency. That's a demand of organized labor and a host of other groups joining forces tonight to demand action. In the last hour, we've seen a statement from the Ministry of Lands and Natural Resources. We'll go over that for you. We are getting reactions to that already, but the list is growing by the minute,
and it starts with the media coalition against illegal mining. They've led this all through together with the media, and here are joining us with a hashtag no to galamsey. We have CLOCSAG joining today, we have the TUC, we have the Federation of Labour, the Christian Council. We've been hearing from them. We've also heard from the Bishops Conference today. Also at the press conference, we have the Ghana Journalists Association also outlining certain measures they are hoping to be undertaking. We've heard from the small scale miners themselves. They were at the press conference as well. I've talked about the Christian Council as well, and the number increases. The NCCE in the last few minutes have also been speaking about it. Youth in Ashanti region also issued a statement to that effect, and the list keeps increasing.
We've also heard today from the Registered Nurses Association. We heard earlier from the Ghana Medical Association. They also joined today, the clergy. In fact, the Office of the National Chief Imam also present today speaking against illegal mining. We've seen the statement from organized Labour, strongly worded, demanding a host of things. First, of course, the beginning with the declaration of a state of emergency that will once see the halting of all forms of mining, whether legal or illegal, in forest reserves and on water bodies, the deployment of the police and the military to seize and destroy illegal mining equipment, the evacuation of equipment in these areas. Also, they've also tonight also asked the president with immediate effect under the state of emergency to evacuate not only the equipment, have his ministers and the authorities evacuate the mining equipment, but also revoke LI 2462, that controversial piece of legislation that was passed in Parliament, and that, by the way, was passed by the two sides. Indeed, it's one that matured over 21 sittings in Parliament, and a withdrawal of all licenses that have been granted for prospecting and mining in forests and protected reserves, also around water bodies, under this particular LI that was passed, and the establishment of this special court that will prosecute those arrested engaged in illegal mining. So a raft of measures indeed that the organized labor had put out, and this is very similar to what we saw from the media coalition against illegal mining earlier in the day at the press conference.
And we've heard from chiefs as well, and they are also giving government up to the end of September. Issues also about 1 month ultimatums that have been giving. Otherwise, for the Bono chiefs, for instance, they say they would reclaim their land, they would take their land if nothing is done about the situation. We've heard from the Asantehene Otumfo say too. We heard from the Ghana Bar Association during the Bar conference also, especially the issue about the politicization of this particular issue for them has been condemned. They say it is regrettable and that is disgraceful as well. So these are some of the organizations and institutions that we've been hearing from. And you've been talking about that statement from the Lands and Natural Resources Ministry that's come up during Top Story and been getting reactions already to that statement. If you don't mind, we'll go through the statement once again in case you missed it. And it talks about the fact that they've been, the officials of the ministry, they've held extensive engagements with regional ministers to review the ongoing efforts at dealing with the of illegal small-scale mining. The meeting, it says, adopted additional measures at tackling the age-old national problem of illegal small-scale mining, that's Galamse, through a comprehensive approach. Which comprehensive approach? We are yet to hear all the details. Now, government will continue with a dual strategy of reformative measures and strict enforcement. The regional ministers, alongside their respective regional security councils, RegSec, have also been mandated to intensify enforcement actions within their various jurisdictions to contain incidents of illegal small-scale mining. Additionally, also the statement says the Minerals Commission will enhance our reformative efforts, particularly through ramping up the establishment of responsible and legal community mining schemes which have regard to the preservation of our nation's environment and landscape. Government says they remain steadfast and committed to continue to restore order and ensure that mining activities are conducted sustainably and legally in the national interest, and they are entreating all and sundry to support these efforts to enable us protect our environment. And it concludes by saying that government warmly welcomes the heightened interest in this all-important national issue and urges the discourse to be devoid of partisanship so as to enable us galvanize the needed national and collective support to root out this canker. But Evans, the minister, the Lands and Natural Resources Minister, was on the SMS right here on Joy 99.7 FM last week and mentioned that a number of things were going to be done. A crackdown, he mentions. Also the fact that there will be a stakeholder meeting within 24 hours, which was going to give briefing to what exactly is happening in terms of this crackdown that you talk about. I see a number of words put together in this particular statement. I don't see any action.
We'll be hearing shortly from the Media Coalition Against Illegal Mining. They've been reacting to this, organized labor too, but already organized labor and its allied groups are mobilizing across the country right now. They want to put more than 1 million people on the streets across the country to force action. Listen to Senor Hossi, who was at the press conference earlier today.
There are many people sitting in their homes and their offices. Ghana's middle class is our biggest disappointment. We sit in our rooms and we talk and talk. When we are out, everybody's hiding. Where are they? Exactly. What we got to know here is that we will not get the Ghana we want if we fail to fight for it. Our politicians will join all these people doing all these crazy things, these dishonorable things, and loot our state. Their children are abroad. They will make their money enough to buy, they buy these days, Voss. I go to politicians, I go to their houses, and I see expensive pure water, imported pure water, Voss. Who is thinking for you? If we do not fight for Ghana, nobody will fight for Ghana. So if you call yourself a Ghanaian, this is a fight to lay down your life for. So within these 2 weeks, Mr. President, it's not going to be talk again. No, the English is too much. We are going to hit the streets. We are going to put a million boots on that ground.
We are traders.
And let everybody know that Ghana does not belong to a very small few who we grace with power only for them to abuse us and destroy the lives of ourselves, our children, and our children's children. Where is the future for Ghana? Please, that docileness of Ghanaians must end. It must stop. It must totally stop. The political class will continue to take advantage of us unless they see that we can stand up and we are not the timid people they think we are.
And we've heard from the ministry tonight. We went to the statement for you. We'll get a reactions pretty shortly on this. But interview that we had, last time we heard from the minister was on the Super Morning Show. He laid out a raft of measures that they will be taking.
We are going to have the review today, and I'm 1,000% certain, and I can give you the firm assurance that we're going to ramp up our enforcement measures. So all these places you are talking about, we're going to have a cleanup there. We're going to have a complete soup. We're going to send law enforcement agencies to take a soup of that whole stretch. And not just there, so many other places, particularly the central region. We're going to do that. You can be rest assured of that, and you can monitor that. As I say, Operation Halt has never been a continuous operation. It's always been a surgical one. And whenever we find that there's a particular place where there's a rise in illegal mining or there's a rise in activities and PDT and the rest, we move them in. We're going to conduct the review today, and within the next 24 hours, we're going to find the resources and move them.
And of course, that statement had come out now, dated today, listing a number of things that they'll be doing, including a meeting with regional ministers who have been asked, working through their regional security councils, to intensify enforcement actions within various jurisdictions that contain incidents of illegal small-scale mining. We'll also be hearing from the Ghana Integrity Initiative pretty shortly. But listen to Dr. Ken Ashigbe, he's a convener of the Media Coalition Against Illegal Mining, giving me this reaction to the ministry's statement on Top Story. The Natural Resources Ministry, is this enough?
Ivan, so you see that the Minister for Land and Natural Resources does not get it. You obviously, what is new among the things that he said? All these things you are doing, you've been doing it, and stability of water is at 14,000 NDUs, and you say regional ministers. The regional ministers drive past, and you name, they see the mining, the illegality. They don't have the capacity. The actions that have been said does not satisfy what we are asking for. It does not satisfy what we are asking for. It just tells you that they don't realize the fact that we are in a crisis. It just tells you that they don't see the enormity of the challenges that are facing us. We had regional ministers here before. We had a minister and the president meet the DCs, some time back. What happened to it? So maybe the Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, he's not read the 3 points from Libya. He's not read the 5 points from the Media Coalition. He's not read all the occupied Ghana. They've not read, because the things he's saying is the same thing. And it is said that if a person who does the same thing and expects to get different results, that's a description for that kind of person. And this, unfortunately, would not deal with the situation that we have at hand.
So that's the convener of the Media Coalition Against Illegal Mining, Dr. Kenneth Tachigbe, speaking a while ago on Top Story, reacting to that particular statement issued by the Lands and Natural Resources Minister. We've been hearing from the minister himself. But in the midst of all this, the heightened call for a ban on illegal mining, or the state of emergency declared by the president. Illegal miners have taken over the main Ayamfuri Wasa Ekropon Road, digging and mining heavily, contrary to mining regulations in the Western region. Well, the Minerals and Mining Act, we know, that's 2006, Act 703, prohibits mining within settlements. Now, Section 15 of that particular act also outlaws mining in an area within 50 meters from a public road. But miners in some of the Wassa towns are breaking this particular law with impunity. Erastus Asaridonko has more.
Act prohibits mining in settlements and in areas 50 meters from a public road. But in these Wassa towns of the Western region, local authorities have allowed one of the worst examples of lawlessness in mining.
This is not Galamsey. This is just some dig and wash. We don't have any links with the DCs. There are many types of Galamsey. We have ones that require the involvement of a DC. But with this, even if you call the DC, he will say, leave them. They are just looking for chop money. The real Galamsey is ahead of you at Japa.
Huge pits, active with excavators and other mining equipment, have taken over the main Dunkwao Iron Free Road. Settlements in towns like Wassa Ntwintwina, Japa and Wassa Adiemra have turned into mining sites. At Wassa Dadieso and Japa, we noticed a free-for-all unhinged Galamsey endorsed by local authorities. Huge pits and artisanal washing bays line up the iron-free Akrupong Road, actively processing gold. The poisonous residue from their illegal activity flows into the environment, into settlements, and by the public road. Some illegal miners who were seen mining by the main road at Wassa Ntwintwina justified their actions.
Mind your business as you are working. Has anybody stopped you? Why should we stop? This is what we do, and we don't have anything to do with the government. Should we pull guns to go on robbery for money? We work hard for our daily bread. We don't want to steal. We don't have any other option.
Reporting for Joy News, Erastus Asaridonko, Kumasi.
Talking about groups joining the fight, we are hearing also tonight from one state institution, that is the National Commission for Civic Education. They're joining the growing calls for a total ban on Galamsey. The commission's chairperson, Kathleen Addy, says the illegal mining activities causing wanton destruction to our water bodies and natural resources. Listen to her.
Government has the power. They are the elected representatives of the people. They have the power to do that. You understand? But as I said, Galamsey is not something that started today. So in order to avoid politicizing, we want to say that the people who have led the Fourth Republic should make a commitment. We are in election season, you understand? People are looking for votes. Let us tie our votes to a commitment, a clear commitment, not two-sidedness, not saying one thing and then saying another thing elsewhere. We want to hear commitments from those seeking power that they are committed to the fight and they are willing to take actions against it. We want to hear that clearly. I think we haven't heard that clearly, and that is a great source of concern for all of us. So yes, Galamsey can be banned. We can come up with alternative solutions. Mining is not necessarily a bad thing. We can have mining going on. It's been going on for over 500 years in this part of the world. So mining is not necessarily a bad thing. It is the way in which we are doing it. The willful poisoning of water bodies, the destruction of forests, now forest reserves as well, is what the concern is about. And those activities are illegal activities, and illegal activities must be dealt with accordingly. So yes, Galamsey as an illegal activity can and should be banned.
And that's the NCC chairperson, Kathleen Addy there. And also tonight, the Ghana Integrity Initiative is pushing for major amendments in the country's electoral laws to clarify how political parties can raise funds for campaign activities and allow the tracking of financial flows for campaign financing. Well, the group is worried about illicit source of funding, including those coming in from galamsey, fraud and money laundering by political parties and individuals in their quest to win political power. We can hear from Executive Director of the group, Mary Ada.
When it comes to issues around how to get the money to engage, people are not bothered about integrity. And so we have issues around serious and organized crime permeating the space of our democracy. You see galamsey happening. And because the states or those who are in the space governing us are not able to speak to these issues because they are resourced through some of these dirty sources, we see fraud itself in real estate and others permeating the space because of the same thing. So it is increasingly become apparent that we need to have a regime that regulates our campaigning, that also regulates how we get money into our politics or to campaign. Both the Political Parties Act and the Constitution did not envisage some of these, because we believe that we are a honest and a very great people who believe in volunteering to do the good job. And so it didn't envisage some of this. So you see the gaps in the Political Parties Act does not talk about limits in the financing. It doesn't also talk about who exactly, even though it says that it's only Ghanaians who can, but then people have companies in Ghana, and it talks about the individual, but then also the individual could have a company. And so that's another gap that we need to pay attention. It's not very clear where the line between the incumbent and then the abusing of his incumbency lies. So we are saying that as a state, we need to be able to define some of these parameters.
They are also monitoring and tracking incidents of vote buying, campaign financing and abuse of incumbency in the lead up to the polls.
The Ghana Integrity Initiative Consortium is put together the projects, and it's intended to monitor campaign spending, track the abuse of incumbency, and document instances of vote buying during the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections. This would go out there that the people of Ghana should be aware that the Ghana Integrity Initiative and its partners, the CDD and GACC, are out there monitoring in over 100 constituencies to capture instances of abuse of state resources, abuse of vote buying, and also instances of campaign finance violations.
Well, perfect time to bring you Climate Focus today because we take you to Tamale, where the capital city there in the northern region. For years, motorbikes have been the preferred mode of transport for many residents and myself.
Do you know how to ride a motorbike?
Of course, I do. Do you?
No.
When you go to Tamale, what do you do?
I'd rather walk or pick a car.
You don't hop on the back of one?
No.
You should. You should try. Once you're wearing your helmet and you're safe, you're fine. But lately, though, there's been a significant shift towards car ownership. In this story, Mahmoud Mohamed Nuruddin explores the implications of this trend on carbon emissions and why motorbikes remain a more convenient and environmentally friendly option.
Motorbikes have long been essential in Tamale's transportation landscape.
It doesn't contaminate the environment as compared to vehicles. That is why I use motorbike instead.
I think riding a motor is more cheaper than using a car, depending on your movements.
However, with increasing car ownership, Tamale's roads are becoming more congested and carbon emissions are on the rise. Here is Rufai Mohammed Hafiz, the Assistant Programs Officer at Environmental Protection Agency in the Northern Region.
The emission of carbon monoxide from vehicles in Tamale is a great concern to Environmental Protection Agency. And the reason is simple. We know that carbon is a key driver to the global warming. And once there is increase in global temperature, and for that matter, there are no partition in the global airspace, Tamale, Ghana, will be impacted.
Let's look at the numbers. A motorbike emits averagely 0.1 kilograms of carbon dioxide per kilometer, while a car emits averagely 0.2 kilograms of carbon dioxide per kilometer. That is twice the amount of carbon emissions. Professor Thompson Ano is a senior lecturer at the Department of Meteorology and Climate Science at Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology.
Your carbon footprint depends on the engine capacity that you are having. So if you have a 2-liter engine capacity combustion engine, you are going to give a less emission of carbon dioxide than somebody who is having a 3.5 liter combustion engine, if all other things being equal.
So what can be done to promote sustainable transportation in Tamale? Rufai again.
If automobiles are depending heavily on fossil fuel products, petrol, diesel, certainly at the end of combustion, what will come out will be what? Carbon. But if we are using clean energy sources, like renewable energy sources, electric vehicles, electric motorbikes, I think to some extent, carbon emission will be reduced. It's for us to go to switch to use of electric car, electric vehicles, electric motorbikes, which to some extent are environmentally friendly.
Professor Ano further explains.
Another aspect is the fact of using what we call hybrid. So you combine electricity with combustion. So you have electrical motor and then combustion engine, and then you put the two together. So when you are on lower speed, then you use electricity, and that one, there is no emission. But when you are on top speed, then the engine, the combustion engine kicks in. Then, so in other words, you don't most of the time use the combustion engine, and therefore you don't burn a lot of fuel to release carbon dioxide.
Some residents say it is time to rethink the transportation choices because motorbikes offer a convenient and environmentally friendly solution for Tamale's residents than the increasing number of cars in the metropolis.
Right now, because of the amount of carbon dioxide in the system, you can see that it is now becoming very difficult for us to even breathe clean air. And because of the cars, it's taking space. So it means more roads need to be created. So automatically more trees will be cut down.
Residents want individual action taken to reduce their carbon footprint and embrace sustainable transportation options. They believe that Tamale can set an example for other cities in Ghana and beyond. A report by Mohammed Nuruddin.
Climate Focus is brought to you by Joy News in partnership with Youth Bridge Foundation and the Climate Development Knowledge Network.
And let's take some of your messages and go to George for business. And this one from Nana Spintex Road says, Evans, some of us knew Galamse will come to this. The day Major Mahama was torn by Galamse is to death, and it took forever to see the case through in the court. Sad country to live in. Kwesi from Kumasi says, the lands minister is just speaking English. We want the water to turn into its natural color of colorless before we will sit on the table with government to George, or the politicians don't care about Ghanaians. And Samin Kumasi says, why? Those civil society organizations which have been calling on President Akufo-Addo to declare a state of emergency as a result of the devastating effects of the Galamsey are not bold enough to tell the president to humbly resign, because he has failed abysmally to fight Galamsey after putting his presidency on the line. And this one from Michael Semado from Volta Region, Anglonga Way, Jejova. He says, if we keep quiet on this Galamsey matter in the country, our rivers, lagoons and lake will continue to be destroyed. Who should be blamed? Who promised us that when he comes into power he will fight Galamse? Who is in power and have authority to put measures in? No to Galamse in Ghana. Stop fetching sand also at Keta. Now he adds his own campaign as well. Well, key. Let's do business. George Riafi is here. Hello, George. What do we have?
Well, let me coming up in business. Government increases the producer price of cocoa by some 45% for the next crop season, and significant reduction in prices of some food items slow inflation rate to 20.9%, the fifth consecutive decline since April this year. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Synthes Tanks, and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal. You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, government has announced a 45% increase in the producer price of cocoa for the 2024 and 2025 crop season. By this, a 64 kilobag of cocoa has increased to 3,000 Ghana cedis from the 2,070 cedis. Speaking at the press briefing, Minister for Food and Agriculture, Dr. Brian Echampo, said this cumulatively has increased the entire season to almost 130% for that ton of cocoa beans.
And we have also attempted to offer cocoa price farmers different prices. The most significant one that was worth announcing was the increase from 1,300 to 2,070. So in announcing a new price, you have to now relate it to what announcement you made at the beginning of your season. And at the beginning of last year's season, 2023, as I announced in TEPA, announced by the president in TEPA, as against the opening of this new season, is 129.6%. And that is very, very clear. In between time, there have been some announcements, yes, increases here and there, but it's in comparison with the beginning of the seasons, and that is what we always do. The issues are not obfuscated in any way, and that has to be clear.
Dr. Brian Echampo is the Minister for Food and Agriculture. Now, the significant drop in the prices of some food items over the past month helped slow inflation rate to 20.9%. Now, this is the fifth consecutive decline since April this year. There is more in this report.
This is the first in several months that the country recorded a decline in prices of some major food items on the market. This resulted in a deflation of 0.7% from August 2023 to August 2024. On a month-on-month basis, that is from July 2024 to August 2024, the country also recorded a deflation of 2.2%. The Ghana Statistical Service associates this development with the influence of seasonal changes, which often triggers a decline in the prices of some food items. This is supported by data from the Ghana Statistical Service, which shows that food inflation has been on the path of decline since June 2024. According to the government statistician, Professor Kobina Enim, the reduction in the price of some food items like fruit, nuts, fat and oils, and other daily products contributed to the marginal drop for the month of August. Also, vegetables, tubers, plantains, as well as bananas witnessed some decline during the same period. However, non-food items increased marginally for the year-on-year calculation. Imported inflation stood at 16.1%, while inflation on locally produced items was 22.2%. On the regional level, Northeast accounted for the lowest inflation rate in the country.
And that is a Business Desk report. Meanwhile, government statistician Professor Samuel Kobnenim says it is still early days yet to conclude that we are out of the woods and the decline will be continued in the coming months.
The trend that we just showed to you from a food perspective clearly shows that in September to August, we always see a decline over the 27-month period. But going between September and December, that 4 points that we saw last year marginally declines. In current terms, can't say what is going to happen to month-on-month inflation, depending on the policies that happen. So given what we have last year and whatever policies that are put in place, that would be the yardstick for us to say that this is what is going to happen in the next few months. So let's be clear in our minds that the computation or any thinking about what consumer price index rate of inflation going forward depends on three things.
Government statistician Professor Samuel Kobnenim. And the Ghanaian Police Association has called on government to ensure fiscal discipline ahead of the 2024 elections. According to its president, Nana Dr. Emmanuel Idusakodie Efuye, government will have to consolidate the macroeconomic gains achieved in the last two quarters of the year to ensure sustainable economic regime. He made this call at the 64th annual general meeting of the Ghana Employers Association.
We also urge government to consider the various constraints currently facing employers and pursue actions that will prevent consequential fiscal slippages and a stable macroeconomic environment after the elections. This is a perennial thing. I mean, any economic class you attend, you see that every election year, the fiscal slippages are massive, and we are told the reasons for it, why and how to cure it and what to do it, but every 4 years it happens.
And that is Nana Dr. Emmanuel Idusakodie Efuye, the newly elected president of the Ghana Employers Association. Meanwhile, the 64th annual general meeting of the Ghana Employers Association actually ushered in a new executive, that is Nana Dr. Emmanuel Idusakodie Efuye, as the new president. The first vice president is the chief executive of Petrosol, Michael Bosombil, and also the second vice president is Victoria Haja. To other news, the Institute of Chartered Accountants Ghana, ICAG, is working with the England and Wales Chartered Institute of Accountants to support a certification program on sustainable reporting for local accountants. The move is to ensure that members with such certifications can be recognized globally and allowed to work in any international financial institutions when it comes to reporting. President of the ICAG, Senator Daka, disclosed this to Joy Business after addressing the sustainable dialogue hosted by the ICAG and the ACCA in Accra.
We are having voluntary reporting now. When we come to mandatory reporting, we need only certified people to be able to issue the or endorse the financial reports. So who are those people going to be? The Institute is preparing itself to be issuing certificates, and we are working with some international organizations so that we will have that global recognition that when you are certified as a sustainability reporting expert in Ghana, you'll be able to work anywhere in the world. And the institution that we are working with directly at the moment is the Institute of Chartered Accountants, England and Wales. Already, some people have finished their certification program on pilot basis, and there are other programs that have been lined up to make sure that we get more certified people.
And that's the president of the Institute of Chartered Accountants, Ghana, Sena Dake. And that's all for business on Newsnight. Back to you, Emifa.
Thank you very much, George. And let's take you to Kumasi in that historic milestone. And the Ghana Bar Association has its first female president. And we're all excited about that. Ifua Gatte is the new GBA president. And during that election that was held earlier today, she won the election with a convincing margin, securing 1,208 votes as against her opponent's 1,060 votes. That's Agbesija Pasu. Well, after two failed attempts to lead the GBA, the immediate past chair of the Greater Accra branch of the association has been given the nod to lead the legal profession. Nana Buachi Dankwa Yadom has more.
In a landmark moment for the legal profession here in Ghana, Ifua Gatte has been elected the first female president of the Ghana Bar Association here in Kumasi, specifically at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology's Great Hall, where the Ghana Bar Association is having its annual conference. Mrs. Ifua Gatte polled some 1,208 votes against their opponent, Kojo Jakpasu, who also polled 1,060 votes. In her remarks, Ms. Ifua Gatte expressed their joy being elected the first female president of the Ghana Bar Association. But here is what she promised for the legal profession.
And from this day forward, it is a united bar in service. No divisions, no factions. It is over. It is time that we put our shoulders to the plow and work to deliver what we believe should be the bar in progress. This indeed is something new, something novel, that the bar, for the first time, has entrusted leadership to the ladies. And I know that with God's help, we shall make you proud. We shall serve you with all our ability. And we shall make sure that you will never, never regret this choice.
Well, people do say that the Ghana Bar Association has been politicized. Is that the case? The Deputy Attorney General, Alfred Tuyaibua, says that the Ghana Bar Association remains independent. Here is what he had to say to the newly elected president of the GBA, Ms. Ifua Gati.
I think that such remarks have no basis. If you come to the Ghana Bar Association, we have people belong to various political parties. When it comes to elections, we do not consider political leanings. When it comes to elections, we look at individuals, we look at competence, we look at how people, those people can deliver. And all those who contested, they are members that I can say have the requisite qualification. It's not about being political. The bar association is non-political, even though members have their political parties that they belong to. But we've never run this association as a political party, no.
And so going forward with the new leader, your expectations from Ifua Gati?
I expect that the new leadership of the bar will bring everyone on board. You know, after elections, people contested, people have lost. People voted for other people who have lost. They need to bring everyone on board. And the bar station, as before known it, has been a very strong force. Let's consider it in that direction. Let's support the governance structure of this country as and when there's a need for the bar to come in and make a point in the national discourse. That certainly will be done.
After being announced president-elect of the Ghana Bar Association, Ms. Ifua Gati is expected to be sworn in as GBA president on November 4th, 2024, in the Greater Accra region. For Joy News, my name is Nana Abuachi Dankwa-Yadom. Kumasi.
And it's time for fact-checking. Let's focus on some recent claims on Ghana's performance indicators made by the vice president and flag bearer of the NPP.
Now, Dr. Baumia claimed that there is not a single area that this government has not performed better than the previous one.
There's not a single area that you can point to that you say that this sector, the former government performed better than you.
The claim that this government has performed better than the previous one in all areas is false. Now, it would have been true if Dr. Baumia had just said his government has done better than the previous NDC government in areas like commercial bank lending rate and the current account balance. But the records in areas like GDP growth rate and inflation do not back his claim. According to data from the Ghana Statistical Service, the NDC in their first term under Mills recorded a higher average growth rate compared to the MPP. The NDC recorded an average growth rate of 8.95% between 2009 and 2012, while the MPP averaged 5.32% between 2017 and 2020. Again, in their respective second terms, the NDC under John Dramani Mahama recorded a 3.9% average growth rate, while the MPP in 3 years of their second term had a 3.5% average growth rate. The NDC also outperformed the MPP in the area of inflation within the periods under review.
And that is Raymond Elka with Fact Checking. Today is now time for sports, and Ms. Bao is here with the latest. Hello, Ms. Bao.
Hello, Evans. We have a big problem in our hand because at the moment we do not have any CAF certified stadium to host any of Black Stars international matches.
All our stadiums, by the way.
Well, the pitch are in terrible state. Terrible state. Not
I mean,
good
you mean
for...
we can't grow grass?
Yeah, I mean, we just
and
can't
keep it.
We can't keep it. You grow it today, you grow it in
grass,
July.
Green grass.
You grow it in July, they lease it out for a checked activity for funeral and they destroy the grass and, you know, it's just in a very poor state, you know. So, I mean, Cape Coast Stadium, Accra Sports Stadium, Esipon Stadium, Barbara Sports Stadium, Aliu Mahama Sports Stadium. These are the key stadium facilities we've got, but all of them are not certified by CAF to be able to host our match come October against Sudan, and we are likely to play our home matches either in Nigeria or Cote d'Ivoire. Daniel Cranting has the details.
A monumental embarrassment awaits Ghana after the Confederation of African Football withdrew approval for the use of the Baba Yara Sports Stadium for the AFCON qualifiers. According to CAF, persistent issues at the venue, as well as others in Ghana, such as the Cape Coast Stadium and the Accra Sports Stadium, have resulted in the continent's governing body asking Ghana to select an alternative venue from among other approved venues outside Ghana for match day 3 and 4 of the 2025 AFCON qualifiers in October. In light of this, the Godswill Akpabio International Stadium in Uyo, Nigeria, seems like the most likely alternative for Ghana, according to Joy Sports sources. Largely due to its close proximity to Ghana, the Godswill Akpabio International Stadium and two other likely alternatives in the Stade Félix Bonnier and the Stade de la Paix, both in Côte d'Ivoire, are being seriously considered. Other options for Ghana will be Cameroon's Japoma Stadium, located in Douala, and the Berkane Municipal Stadium in Morocco, where Ghana played Niger. Ghana is expected to make their decision known to CAF within the coming days.
Daniel Cranston there with that report.
And you actually were saying that in October, we may play our home games in Nigeria or which are the
Ivory Coast.
Or Ivory Coast.
Togo or Benin, because CAF has given a verdict that
Has that ever happened before? That's never Black happened Stars before. Playing home game.
Yeah, it has never happened
in another
before.
Country.
And a very crucial, you know, AFCON qualifier game against Sudan. We traveled to Sudan and we host them in the second leg. It was supposed to be a Baraa Sports Stadium, but now we have to play it somewhere outside of Ghana.
Because
we
didn't grow green grass.
We couldn't maintain even the ones we've grown, so it's just terrible. It's unbelievable.
Has it ever happened before? No, it hasn't.
It's never happened before. I mean, for my lifetime. I don't know for those who are...
Older.
Yeah, older, but I've never seen Black Stars play home away from home before. Yeah, even if that's a first sports.
Thank you very much.
Let's get into the election headquarters now.
Election Headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, and Youth Bridge Foundation, bridging the gap for positive youth development.
And indeed, your election headquarters, the three presidential aspirants have filed nominations on day two of the process with the Electoral Commission. The three among five aspirants who were expected to file, James Abeji is with us, is a man on the ground for us. Who are they?
Evan, so Alan Kojo Chairman, I think, of the Now Alliance for Revolutionary Change, Kofi Kranting of the New Vision Movement, and Alhaji Frimpong of the National Democratic Party, NDP, have all filed. The two who were absent were Seth Intime Jako, an independent candidate, as well as Citizen Atudadzi of the GCPP.
If we are voted into power, will be the party that is likely to put our nation on the path of stability, well-being, and assurance for livelihoods.
The levels of degradation traveling the country is heartbreaking. And I think it's upon us for us to do something as a people. The rest of the world, the rest of our people are looking up to us. And that's why we have offered ourselves to lead the country. And I'm hoping that you will all come together and come with us to make this thing happen for Ghana this time.
Ghanaians believe that I'm the man that can get the job done. I have the vision, I have the competence, I also have the integrity and then the capacity for execution. And today, I'm putting it to rest. Alan has filed his nomination, and I personally appeal for your support in December this year.
What happened to those who were scheduled to file today but failed?
They still have the 2 days window, tomorrow and Friday, to get that done. If they don't, then that will be next 4 years before they pick. Tomorrow, we expect five more people to file.
Okay, so... in total, how many are we looking at?
In total, we are looking at 33 because one candidate is now a running mate for Mr. Kofi Akpaloo of the
LPG, and so we expect 33 instead of the 34 original we know.
We're watching this space very closely. More than 30 people in the ballot. We'll see the electoral commission. We'll have to sift through that and make a decision. To the political parties now, the NDC, Flag Bearer John Mahama has vowed that the NDC will scrutinize the electoral process at every stage, urging supporters to join the party's protest on September 17 to express their displeasure at what he describes as the discrepancies in the voters' register.
NDC has problems with the Electoral Commission, not because we dislike the commissioners, but we think that we need to raise the red flag so that all of us resolve those issues before we go into the election, in order that the peace we're all looking for will be sustained. And that's why we want the Electoral Commission to set up. And so, as announced by our chairman, on the 17th is an NDC protest against the Electoral Commission to make sure that they do their job and do it properly. And so on the 17th, our party members will all wear their t-shirts in every district of this country where there's an EC office, and will march peacefully to the EC office and demonstrate to draw the attention of the society to the need to put pressure on the EC to set up and do their job properly. We're scrutinizing every stage of the process, and we'll make our feelings known so that we all can monitor the process and make sure that everything goes properly.
Well, so all set for that demonstration on Tuesday. But John Mahama has also criticized the government's approach to procurement, calling it one of the worst areas of corruption. While he stated that almost everything is sole sourced, and he pledged to investigate these practices if given the mandate.
Another aspect of the fight against corruption would involve procurement. One of the worst places we find corruption is in public procurement. This government, when we're in office, made so much noise about sole sourcing. But in our time, sole sourcing was used mostly for projects that were funded by certain countries. And often when they give you a loan, they expect that a contractor from their country would be the one to do the project. Or if a particular company is the one that sourced the loan, they cannot bring the loan and you take it and give to somebody else to do. And so we did sole sourcing mainly targeted at this range of projects. But under this government, everything is sole sourced, everything. And this is the same government that was crying about sole sourcing. And so to resolve that, I said that we're going to create an independent value for money office. And so any contract above $5 million or as may be determined by Parliament.
And that is John Dramani Mahama there, the National Executive Committee of the MPP, has meanwhile confirmed Dr. Tia Kabiru as their parliamentary candidate for the Wale Wale constituency. And despite protests from some disgruntled youth who oppose his candidature, the NEC, in a meeting in Accra, officially confirmed Dr. Kabiru. And we know that this has been a key issue that the party needed to resolve very quickly on the back of the withdrawal from the contest of the incumbent member of parliament there, and they are now calling on the party to introduce a fresh candidate to separate from the two original contenders. That's people in the constituency.
We, the people of Wale Wale, need peace, and we stand with our message. If the party wants the seat won, we need a neutral candidate.